I'm with Carl Sigdinnis, and you are here today to tell your Pirate Radio story. Where did it all begin for you in Pirate Radio?
Well, I came into Pirate Radio in Dublin from a sideways point of view. I'd grown up in America and gone to college there and did college radio in the States and was completely hooked on radio then. So through a series of accidents, I wound up here in Dublin, was working for Hot Press magazine as a journalist and designer. And Hot Press ran, you know, at one point started to do a show, the Hot Press radio show, and I was appointed to do that.
On what station?
It started on ARD in Mountjoy Square, and then it moved to Big D when it was behind where the Jervis Centre is now, and then went out to Radio Dublin and Inchicore, and then back to Big D when it was on Harcourt Street.
That's brilliant. I never heard of the Hot Press show, and it moved around stations, so it was a serious kind of commitment from Niall Stokes and team to get their kind of music press onto the radio.
It was, I think, their way of, you know, it was for us to play the music that we were loving on the magazine and that possibly other people weren't playing. And I'm guessing he did some sort of contra deal with each station. So they got ads in our magazine, we got a show on the station.
And technically speaking, you were getting paid while you did that show then.
Well, I was being paid by Hot Press. I wasn't being paid to go out in the middle of the night and do shows. But it bounced around on the schedules. But it was great fun. I mean, I love radio. Got hooked on it, as I said, in college. In fact, got hooked on it before I ever set my foot in a studio. But once I started doing radio, I just fell in love with it.
So for you, you mentioned a couple of stations and how you got into it through Hot Press. Like, did you then keep doing it after the Hot Press thing?
I did do some shows, bits and pieces here and there. I've done radio, yes, I've done radio ever since. I did the River of Soul on Radio Ireland, then Today FM, and then now that's on RT Gold. I did a show called Shaken Street on Radio Ireland, which I'm now doing on Dublin City FM. So I've done shows on Radio 1 and 2 FM and all most of the stations, I think, at some point or other, I've probably done something, whether it's a one-off or a small series or a regular show.
What was it about the pirate era that makes it so special for you?
I think it was the excitement of it all. Dublin was a really exciting city, music-wise, at that time. And I think, because I first arrived in Dublin in the mid-70s, 74, 75, and Ireland was like America had been in the 1950s. It was sort of like walking into a black-and-white television for me. And 2-3 years later, it exploded with bands and music, and there was a scene happening, and the pirates kind of came along hand in hand with that. And so you had bands were suddenly, you know, young people were suddenly able to get instruments, get up and play just out of the blue. You didn't have to be in a show band, you know, you didn't have to have lessons or anything. And pirate radio kind of walked hand in hand with that. It was people who would never get near RT Radio 1, because that was the only game in town at the time, just RT Radio. And so it was a way for people who just loved music, loved radio, to get out there, get their voices heard. You were hearing local voices, you were hearing Dublin accents, you know, it was, and then you were hearing bands that weren't getting played on radio either, on Radio 1, RT. And, you know, because if you remember back then, I mean, in the mid-70s, the music programs consisted of 15-minute sponsored programs where they'd play a minute of a song and then go to something else, you know, the Odlums Flower Hour and things like that. So pirate radio was quite an explosion of noise, almost cacophony of noise and sound, and it was great fun.
You tell it wonderfully there about the kind of black and white era of Dublin, a bit like the lyrics of Rat Trap by the Rats, the Boomtown Rats, and that you're saying radio brought colour to that kind of grey black and white era.
I think it really did. It allowed, you know, local bands who were making maybe a privately pressed record, printed up a couple of hundred copies, their record could be played on the radio. There was no way on earth they were going to get onto RTE radio at the time. So it really did sort of almost like open up. It was almost like blinds snapping open and sunlight flooding in to an otherwise, you know, grayish, dull room. And as you well know, loads of current radio stars of the past 30 years came out of pirate radio. So it actually grew stars. It grew radio personalities. And people come into radio for lots of different reasons. Some people come in because they just want to be DJs. Others came in because they loved music and wanted to share their music with other people. There are people who love sports and wanted to, you know, maybe build a career reporting on it. Newsreaders, you know, and then you had all the techies who otherwise might have only been, you know, wouldn't have had a chance to work near radio. And of course, they were ultimately the most important people of all because they kept all these stations on the air.
When not on air, what would you be listening to on the radio?
At the time, I guess I would have tried to find people, like-minded people with tastes similar to mine. So I'd have been listening to the In Dublin Magazine radio show with Jerry Ryan. I would have been listening to Dave Fanning's show. And I've subbed in on a lot of these shows too, did holiday fill-ins and guest slots and album reviews and things. And it was just a sort of a more magnified version of the way you would share music with your mates. So, you know, like, you know, you might say, God, Brian, come over to my house. I've got this great new album by so-and-so. And then you'd say, well, I'll play you my new album that I got. And it kind of radio was sort of like a, you know, taking that and multiplying it by 1,000. So, you know, people could share music and hear it. And it was a passion. For me, the passion was sharing the music, you know.
Based on the music that you say you now play on Dublin City FM and the various legal stations in the latter years, would you have listened to Luxembourg AFN and kind of Caroline North and those kind of stations?
Luxembourg particularly, yeah. I think I came to Ireland a little bit too late for Caroline and the original Pirates, but Luxembourg was a big one because they didn't just play chart music, they played records that they thought should be on the charts, they played records that they just thought were cool. So Luxembourg was a big one. And of course, you know, it had the same magic for me as every other young person at the time. The signal would kind of waft in and waft out again. And, you know, just in the middle of a song, you're saying, that's brilliant. I wonder who that is. And then the signal would disappear. You wouldn't find out who it was. You'd miss the DJ's end link or something. So it was great fun like that. But Luxembourg would have been, I think, the biggest and most influential one. A couple of the shows on the BBC were good, but they were, you know, BBC wasn't playing a whole lot of music, you know, pop music at the time. They did respond to the English Pirates and in up their content, but, you know, it was still Luxembourg, I think, was much more cutting edge.
And what was the last pirate you were on?
Oh, the last one was probably was whichever one was in the basement or the like a cubby hole at the back of a pool hall on Camden Street.
And Big D.
Big D. That was the last vestige of Big D, wasn't it? And I did, I think, one show there. Just once, and I don't even, was that the early 80s? Did it struggle into the 80s? That would have been the last time I did something on pirate radio. And then after that, it was sort of, you know, the community radio. It was Anna Olivia at the time, and it's now Dublin City FM. I started, the River of Souls started there. And then I think about 12 weeks after I started there, I ended up on Radio Ireland, and then became Today FM and sort of carried on from there.
Brilliant. American accent on Dublin radio. There was a lot of people aping and trying to have that mid-Atlantic sound and were accused of doing so. But you had that accent. Did it cause you trouble or get you jobs?
I don't think it had any influence one way or the other. I didn't really know. I don't think I knew enough people to kind of be fully plugged into the network at the time. And I didn't probably work the network like some of the other guys would have done. So it, to my detriment, probably. But I don't think it mattered so much because, you know, as I said, some of the guys were DJs, you know, with the big round American mid-Atlantic style voice. And people like me, I was much more interested in just saying, have you heard this record? And if you like these guys, you're going to love these guys. And that kind of thing was my style of radio much more.
Did you stay at the journalism?
Yes, I did. I was, I really only stopped writing in 2004 when I sold my own publishing company. But I moved into motoring journalism. I went away from music and other criticism and went into motoring. Published magazines for 20 plus years. Did radio intermittently through that period as well. Now it's much more, I'm doing more radio. So I'm doing two shows a week, The River of Soul on RT Gold and Shaken Street on Dublin City FM. Do you want a couple of anecdotes about?
Please.
Okay. Two memories strike me, Brian. Both, as it happens, from Radio Dublin and Ingie Core. And the first one, and I remember being really surprised, I think it might have been the first time I went out to do the Hot Press show. seeing a kind of a normal kitchen style clock radio in the studio. And I'm thinking, are people using that as a primitive monitor or something? I didn't know what it was there for until it came up to the top of the hour. And as it came up to the top of the hour, you know, the DJ said, and now over to Maurice Doherty for the news. And they switched on the clock radio, held the microphone to the speaker, and they had RTE News playing. And the newscast came literally from a handheld mic held up to a clock radio, and then said, and that was the news, and they'd switch the radio off. And then the other anecdote was one time myself and Lee Mackey, another hot press journalist, went out to Radio Dublin to do our show. And the DJ who was on before us hadn't turned up. And the only person in the station was she couldn't have been more than 16, a girl who was there to answer the phones. But she was the only person in the building, so she had to do the show before us. And when we arrived in, she had a double album of James Last's greatest hits. That's all she had. One platter on each deck. And she didn't know who we were, so she wouldn't let us do our show. So Liam and I just looked at each other and said, okay, we'll go off to the pub. And as the studio door was closing, we heard her saying, we'll be continuing with our James Last special in a minute.
Wonderful times. Would you have changed anything?
I think I would have liked to have done more. Because, again, as I said, I loved radio so much. I really should have probably campaigned to do a more regular show of my own, perhaps, on the stations. And I missed the initial flood of people applying to 2FM when it was launched as well. I just completely missed the boat on that one. So I guess in that case, I would have changed those things. But otherwise, no. I mean, it was just nice to have been a peripheral part of it.
And just to shake the tree finally, just on the stations you did get involved in, even in a small way down through the years, no pressure, but what's the list? As chronological as it can, but where have you been? What stations were you on?
Oh, starting, well, I suppose I started with WHRB, which was my college station in Boston. But it was interesting because it was 95.3 on the dial, so right in the middle of the dial, 3,000 watts, so it broadcast to the whole city. So
early FM.
So it was a proper radio station in a big city. Then I ended up over here in Ireland and went started with ARD, with the Hot Press Show. Then a Big D, and then out to Radio Dublin, then back to Big D, and then Anna Livia, and then Radio Ireland, which became Today FM. Then did shows on 2FM over the years, holiday fill-ins and other bits and pieces. Did a series on Radio 1 on soul music, and then ended up doing the River of Soul on RT Gold and Shaken Street on Dublin City FM, both of which started about 3 years ago. So I've been doing weekly shows for the past 3 years.
More power to you. Carl Sigdinis, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you.